There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11. 11 listeners.
This is me.
This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another edition of 50 Days of Dragon Con, the podcast that is Chip Chip Cheerio and dunking tea and biscuits and crumpets and, of course, the ma'am of the podcast. Joining us is Lee. Lee, how you doing?
Chip Chip Cheerio, really?
I don't know.
You can't do it. Could you do it in a could you do it in a terrible Dick Van Dyke voice from Mary Poppins? Could you try that? Chip Chip Cheerio. I can't
chip,
even
chip,
do that. One. It's so bad.
That's about
the best. There you go. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. You did take. I always remember you did take acting classes. So yeah, I'm good. I'm good. I mean, it's we are as we record this 43 days from Dragon Con.
Wow.
Because it does start on Friday, no matter what John says. But that's really cool.
43 days till Dragon Con.
43. Hush up. And yeah, I mean, it's just kind of amazing what's going on. Last night was the schedule for. All of the directors to have our final tentative draft schedules in.
You mean the deadline?
So now it was the deadline. Okay. And yeah, it's the final tentative draft deadline. And so now all of our drafts are in and now they'll move them around based on, oh, this guest can't be here at this time or this panelist can't be here at this time or you have to be in a big room at this point and not at that point. So it's pretty cool. It's great. And we're kind of, it's fun. It's fun to get there. So yay. We've had some guests announced.
Oh.
Again from Sesame Street, the puppeteer who, does Abby Cadabby, Leslie Carrara Rudolph is going to be there. And we've got, I know that's really actually kind of cool. And then, we've got a couple of people from the Muppets, like the Muppets Foundation and the Muppets Studio coming. So I think that's going to be interesting to hear about the Muppets from that perspective as well. And so, yeah, we keep getting guests added. So do keep looking at the website and the guest. And there's a really easy way to see who's been added since the last time you looked. And it's right up at the top and it says guest. You know, if you want to see the date they were added, click here. It's kind of in a little bit of tiny writing, but it's pretty cool. So that's really neat. And I think that's good. And the weather in Atlanta, they've now done a long range forecast for September.
Really?
And, yeah, and here you go. Here's what it's going to be: hot and humid.
Oh, no way! You're kidding.
Wait, it's going to be. I know it's going to be hot and humid, and probably not cloudy or misty or gray. Unlike the setting that is in all the shows that our guest tonight is on the track for. So we got Caro from Brit Track. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure.
Yeah, and it is, and it's always, you guys do, those Brit shows do get some great atmosphere with that gray drizzle, just almost as much as Vancouver shows. It's always great. I can always
some
go.
Some of it is sunshine and happy rainbows and stuff, but not most of it.
I was about to, wait, what's sunshine and happy rainbows?
Just, I don't know, it's far reaching, probably the... I don't know. Probably Cosgrove Hall. That's probably about it.
Okay. I was about to go. I was like, even Red Dwarf, they're all worried about dying in space. So I'm like, I'm not sure that's not a happy show either. Although the cat always made me giggle. So, Brit Track. Woohoo. So what is up for Brit? What are the big things up for Brit Track this year?
Oh my God. We as per usual, we have a lot going on. We have 53 panels right now.
That's because she has two rooms and she's crazy, but keep going with that.
Because we run really late and we have, you know, this year we only have one triple booking, which makes me happy, where we have three different panels going on at this game. Only one. I'm very proud.
currently, you have only one.
Yes, currently we have only one. But
everything, yeah. I do your butts in the seat, and it's going on. It's all just currently. So, yeah.
So right now the schedule looks really exciting and really great. It's super diverse. You know, we don't really have a theme going on this year, and we're doing two parties this year. We're of course doing the Heroes and Villains Ball with video gaming. We do that on Saturday. That'll be the Sheridan at 10 o'clock, and it's kind of crazy. You know, last year the room filled up really quickly and people stayed for a really long time, and we must have turned the room a million times. We have a new DJ, DJ Spider, is coming to spin for us for that party. So it should be really good and a lot of fun. And there'll be lots of announcements, important announcements regarding the party. And, you know, it's our same usual crazy.
Yeah. So watch Twitter and Facebook for those kind of announcements.
Big time. And then we are doing, it's the 10th anniversary of the new series Doctor Who.
Oh, is it really?
On air. Yes.
I didn't realize that.
So, yeah, so it's been on the air for a decade, which is really exciting for us. So we're, you know, we had the 50th anniversary party that we did not last year, the year before that, and it was really successful. It was very short. This year, we are doing a longer party. We're doing a Doctor Who ball, and we're going to actually bring it back every year following this year. So it's like a return of anniversary and kickoff to, you know, continuing doing our Doctor Who parties. So that's on Sunday, also in the Sheridan at 10 o'clock. And it should be really, really great. We're really excited about the party. And we also have a panel called A Decade of New Who. So we're going to be going over the past 10 years of, you know, Doctor Who and how it's changed and all the other stuff. And that'll be in a ballroom. So it's really exciting.
That's incredibly cool. Now let's take a step back real quick. Cause for those that don't know what the Brit Track is, what does that encompass? What are your areas of panelism?
Panelism. Unique word. We cover anything related to the United Kingdom. So it can be radio, film, novels, television, of course, is probably our primary focus is television. Mm-hmm. And then also cultural things. So we have a few panels that deal with, you know, British culture. And we pretty much just are, we're all what we call Anglophiles. That's fans of anything that's British. And we celebrate that, and we have programming that's dedicated to that. And it runs from stuff that airs on BBC America to stuff that, you know, airs on BBC, and then it's rebroadcast here. Or we do, you know, topics that where, like, the BBC or a British network works in conjunction with an American network, and we do that kind of programming as well. So it really, there's really not a genre that we cover in particular, because we do kind of everything.
So do you get a lot of Netflix originals, since they usually are just repurposed stuff?
Right. I mean, we do cover a little bit of that. You know, we have it's a myriad of things. I mean, like, for example, I don't know if you've seen the new it's an Android show called Humans.
Oh yeah, I've seen it. I've been watching it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really good. And yeah, we're doing a panel on it. I'm super excited to talk about that. That's brand new, you know, that's coming out. We've got a few things that, you know, related to the newer shows. You know, Orphan Black just had its next season. So we're going to have a panel on that. Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell, we're going to talk about that.
That is a book I never finish. I've tried three times.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's wrong with me.
It's kind of dry, but it's really good.
I think it's the kind of thing that it's one of those that if it is your cup of tea, no pun intended, it is your cup of tea, you will love it. If it is not your cup of tea, you're like, I'm going to keep trying. I'm going to keep looking. Every time I get like another 25, 30 pages in and go, yep, done. So I just, yeah. Sorry. I just wanted to add that in there. I'm like, I'm glad because other people I've heard saying, oh, the show's awesome. Oh, it sticks to the book, but it's awesome too. And it, I'm like, okay, great. Yay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, so
keep going.
We're done well.
You got great people.
Yeah, and the show's really good. And we're doing that panel as a pair. We're doing a couple of panels with other tracks. And so we're doing the Jonathan Strange panel with the alternate history track. Mm. So we'll have a few of their people on the panel, which is really exciting because you have a different, you know, audience that appreciates it. And we have that conversation, you know, as a pairing. And then we also have another panel with them that's steampunk themes in Doctor Who. So we'll have that panel, and that'll happen in his room, and Jonathan Strange will happen in our track room. And then we're also doing, I'm really excited about it. We're actually doing a panel with the Kaleidoscope track, which is the kids track.
Oh.
And we're doing Doctor Who for kids. And it's going to be, yeah. It's super exciting. There's going to be one's a, like, I think in like 12 or 13, the other one's about 10, that are going to be on the panel. And then a couple of our regular panelists are going to be up there. So we're actually going to have kids on the panel, which is really exciting for me. And I think the panel is going to be a really big deal, and it's super family friendly, you know, panel. And I'm really excited to finally be able to do something with them because they're so great over at Kaleidoscope. They're just a great track. So we're looking forward to that. But I mean, if you think of a genre, we pretty much cover it. We kind of tend to focus on science fiction and fantasy. And we do some crime stuff as well because of things like Sherlock.
Mm-hmm.
We have and a panel on that. And we have a panel on Sherlock. We have a panel on Luther. We have a panel. I'm actually really excited because I'm curious as to what's going to happen with it. Hopefully no one will throw anything. But we're doing a panel on Sherlock versus Elementary.
Oh,
so,
okay. That should be fun.
I think it would be interesting. I mean, I think, you know, it's. I've got people of both camps on the panel, so I'm... Hopefully no punches are thrown, but I really like the versus panels. I think they're you know, they're pretty meaty in the conversation, and people get heated, and you know,
that will
cool.
probably happen. That will probably happen.
Now, a quick story about Doctor Who. As many know, I don't watch Doctor Who. I've tried. I just can't get into it. But my son, who's 11, has picked it up and has been watching it day in, day out. So
well, awesome.
That's how I got into it too, is my son, of course, got pimped to it. And that would be our friend Kim, who is the worst pimp ever, the most evil ever. And she pimped him to it. And then I was like, I just don't get it. I don't like it. And then I got into the Matt Smith one. So at some point, something will hit you, John, and then you'll be watching.
We'll
see. Is he watching it on Netflix, or is he doing like the Disney?
He's watching,
Disney now.
I know.
Has it on.
That's wild.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. He's watching it on Netflix and recording on Disney. So he's doing both. So it's, and sometimes it's kind of out of order, but he's been watching it. Like, he started with Eccleston and went forward. So, and I did notice he is now in Tenet. So,
That's exciting. He'll if he's coming to the con, he'll like the panel for sure. Yeah. So,
I also see that, speaking of possible controversies, I see you have Top Gear on your list here, too.
Oh, I'm so excited about that panel. Yes, Top Gear is on our list. Oh, my God, it's going to be a really good panel. I really hope we have, there's two people that dress like Stig that come every year, and I really hope that they're there. I can't wait to talk about it. I want to be in the room. I'm not going to be on the actual panel because we have some great panelists that are going to be up there. But I mean, the last episode was just crazy. So it was probably the best episode, honestly, that I'd seen in a while, was the very last one, which is really depressing.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, that's going to be a really good panel.
Yeah, but not
a panel for sure.
You know, everything that happened wasn't undeserved, but, you know.
Oh, of course not. Of course not.
But it is. But it's one of those things where you're like, God, I really hope this doesn't end the way. Oh, it did. It ended the way.
It did. It ended the exact way that we were really hoping.
Well, didn't you hear about like all the rumors about how they're going to do a Netflix spinoff?
I know.
And how they're, I'm like, you're like, what are they going to call it? Because they don't have the rights to the Top Gear name. That's
Gear
a
Top.
Easy product, right?
Above Sprocket.
Right. Probably, I think Above Sprocket. Three old guys.
Three old guys in a car?
Three old guys in a car.
Or dear
three,
Lord, they yeah.
And
what is it? Three men and instead of three men and a baby.
Three men and a baby.
Be a play on that.
Three men and a stig. Well, they can't use stig.
Three men and a guy that you can't see his face. No, that's fine.
Well, the other question is whether or not they own the, like, a Top Gear owns the conceptual rights to the Stig.
Mm.
So, like, having the show without the Stig, but with, you know, the same host would be but a different name, it's going to be weird. It's going to be really weird.
But that sounds like a cool panel just for the rumors, if nothing else, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because all of us geeks love to talk about that kind of stuff, even though we have no idea really what's going on. But, you know, hey, we can hypothesize.
We love to hypothesize and hope and share our dreams with others.
Yeah.
We like that. It's a lot of fun.
I know. What's really fascinating, actually, about, I don't know why this happens, but I've been in other track rooms, and maybe it's just our audience, but, like, our group of fans that come to panels are very serious about spoilers. In fact, like, half the room has gotten up and left. Whenever we have a pile of signs that says warning, spoilers, and we don't talk about speculations or rumors or anything. And this actually, I just can't believe it became a policy, but it actually did become a policy for us that we don't do it until the last, like, 15 minutes of the panel.
Oh, wow.
And because we were in a panel, it was like 7 or 8 years ago, and like someone, you know, let out a spoiler for the next season and something that they read online because I guess of Doctor Who, because a couple scripts got leaked, and, you know, someone on the panel had read it. And so they started talking about it in the middle of the panel, and I got all this hate mail.
Wow.
From these people. I mean, like, a ton. We're not talking like two or three. We're talking like about 50 like emails.
Wow.
With people complaining about spoilers. And I was just like, well, I didn't think it was that big of a deal. And it was like my first year as a director. And I was like, okay, well, we're not gonna do that anymore. So ever since then, we've always said at the beginning of the panel that we're gonna hold off to talk about spoilers and everything like that until the last 15 minutes. And I'll tell you what, a lot of people get up and leave. You'd be surprised at the number.
Well, I think, you know, I think it might be a little different too. For me, we're going to see it this year a little bit more because we're going to talk about some Netflix shows and some things like that. But I think for you guys, the issue there is unless you've got BBC America or you're legally acquiring it some way, you might not have seen a season yet or something like that because of how long it takes to get over here. So I think they probably would be a little more pissy about spoilers because, you know, I'm telling you right now, I'm getting pissy about spoilers.
Cautious, not pissy, cautious.
Oh, no, it's pissy. I get pissy too. All get cautious
people
and pissy.
People get pissy. I mean, they do, but it's okay. I get it. I mean, I get it. I'm a little bit like that. But.
I am too. I'm actually starting. I have already done a moratorium on anything with the Star Wars new movie. I'm not reading it, and that's really hard on IO9 if you go there for your sci-fi news. And the other one is I'm starting to stop reading X-Files things because I'm just like, I want to be surprised by this stuff. I don't want to know that they're gonna do well. One of the things they're doing, I'm just like, I don't know how y'all are gonna do that. So I can't.
Yeah,
that's gonna be really weird. So, but no, I maybe that's why they're a little more, I'm going to get up and walk out because I don't want to know. Huh.
I know, and I'm okay with that. Like, I get it. Like, it took me a second, and then after I got all the letters, I was like, all right, okay, well, this actually makes sense. So ever since then, we make that a policy that we just wait until the end to talk about it. And it's really hard, like with shows, like we're, you know, like with Downton Abbey, for example,
mm-hmm.
you know, Downton Abbey airs earlier, you know, and it months, you know, go by and then, you know, it airs here. So it's not simulcast. And because of that, you know, people will come to the convention not having seen all of it.
Oh yeah.
And that's, I mean, period dramas are pretty popular and pretty big right now, just in general. And so we actually are having a panel just on period dramas to talk about, you know, some of the really major period dramas that have come out, like The White Queen, The Wolf Hall is another one that came out. We might touch on Outlander. Technically, it's not British, but, you know, of course, you can't not talk about it. And then shows like The Paradise and Mr. Selfridge with Jeremy Piven, which is, if anyone likes Downton Abbey, they need to watch it because it's really good. But that panel, I'm really excited about, the period dramas panel. I actually wanted to do a bunch of period drama panels and do like a 15th century one and a 20th century one, because there's so many different time periods, but it ended up working out that way. So we end up having just the Downton Abbey panel and the period dramas panel, which is, it's exciting. And we have, you know, we have other stuff going on too besides that. That's crazy.
So I guess we forgot to ask too at the beginning here, whereabouts are you located? Where's your actual track room?
We are in the Sheridan, and we're in Macon, and hopefully one day we'll be in a larger room. I don't know if it'll happen, but I would really like two rooms. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I'd really like it. But we're in Macon, in the Sheridan, and we were happy there. We love the Sheridan. It is a bit of a far cry away from, you know, a hotel alley. Mm-hmm. But it's a great spot. And then, of course, all of our large ballroom stuff, for the most part, it's in the Hilton and the Sheridan and then the Marriott. So we're actually, even though our home base is the Sheridan, we pretty much at least, I'd say seven or eight times throughout the day, we'll have a panel going on in the Hilton or the Marriott. So people can see us there or in our own track room. So
yeah. And you usually get the big rooms for the guests. And who do you have for guests this year?
We get our big rooms for guests, but we also get them for tentative. We also get them for large panels for just our, because of the topic is so popular that we can't fit everybody in our room. Mm-hmm. So as far as guests, we tentatively maybe might have, perhaps, we're going to have a panel with Julian Glover, which is really cool. And, you know, Julian Glover was on Game of Thrones, and he was also on Doctor Who during the classic series. And he's worked heavily at the BBC, and his career is just amazing. So we've got a panel tentatively scheduled for a Friday morning interview with him, which is really exciting. Yeah. We have a panel with Tony Curran, or Curran. I never know how to pronounce his last name.
I think it's Curran.
And Tony Curran, you know, yeah. Most people know him from Defiance as Dave Taktar. But we know him as Vincent from Vincent the Doctor,
mm-hmm.
Which is one of the new series episodes. And so he's going to do, we're doing like a Inside the Actor Studio interview with him, and then Q&A session after. Like that'll be for 15 minutes, and then the last of it'll be Q&A, just to talk about his entire career of being a Scottish actor in England and what that's like, and you know, what his experience has been as far as that's concerned. So we're really excited about to have him. And then we have two doctors, which is really exciting. Mm-hmm. We have Sylvester McCoy returning.
Yay!
Who, yes. I love him. He's such a nice person.
He's so nice.
He's nice, and I can tell you this. I had to go into, I had to deliver some stuff to one of his panels, and I stuck around for a good 15, 20, because he is so entertaining. And he actually makes, even though, he's the doctor from a while ago, he makes you want to watch Doctor Who, and only if only to see him, because he is so entertaining on stage. I cannot, it's beyond words, really.
Yeah. He's, I hope he brings his spoons again. Mm. He plays the spoons on stage, which is really cool. If you can get him going, that's pretty neat. Him and Peter Davison play the guitar, I think it was last year, and then he played the spoons while Peter Davison was playing the guitar, which was kind of cool. So... we're really excited about having Sylvester back. He's such a lovely person. He's one of those people that I'm not a big, like, go and take photos and get written, like, get autographs signed with guests. That's not kind of, like, what I like to do. It's for some people, it's not really something that I do very often. But he's one of the few people that I would actually pay money to, like, go to his table and meet him and just get to talk to him for a little bit. And that, you know, I know being a director, I get the chance to talk to him just a little bit behind the curtain, but I think that he's just such a nice person. And then we also were really, really, really excited. I have never met him, and I'm so excited to have him. Paul McGann, who played the Doctor in the Doctor Who movies, and also he's the Eighth Doctor, and also played, you know, the Doctor on the Big Finish audio. So he's coming, so that's really exciting.
Yay!
So,
that's really
cool. He has. It is really cool. He's pretty great, and from what I've heard, he's a really great panelist. So we're doing two panels with McCoy, two panels with McGann, and then we're doing one panel that has the two of them together. So that should be, that panel is definitely the one that people want to be at for sure.
Yeah.
Speaking of people that are really fun at panels, I see that you said, yeah, Barrowman's back again.
Barrowman's back. Well, we're still negotiating a panel, with him. And yeah. He's back, but we're hoping we can get him for a panel, but we don't know for sure because he's got, you know, a lot going on with his wonderful career on Arrow and everything like that. So we're hoping to have him for a panel, but we're okay if we don't have him. Well, but, it's really good to see him.
Yeah, if nothing else, he's there, right? So,
which is pretty cool.
Right. There's been many a story that has come out of his panels. So.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, yeah. Trust me, I've been behind the scenes as he comes in. He's so awesome. Yeah. He's hilarious. So we get to do panels, and if not, everyone should just go see him because he's fantastic and he's such a great person and warm and nice and funny.
And you'll see his tushy. People...
Oh yeah, he'll definitely see his butt.
And you'll see his tushy. You'll see his tushy. So, it's usually at least a little bit clad, but you will see his tushy.
Yeah.
That's what you're going for, you will. Trust me.
He, like, puts on special underwear for, like, dropping trowel in front of everybody. It's really funny to hear the conversation behind the curtain right before he goes out. He's such a great person. But we also have some, they may not be super well known, but we're excited about them. We have Robert Alsup returning, and he is the only prop master and costumer that works for the BBC under Doctor Who that has done work on the classic series and the new series, Doctor Who. So he comes every year and he brings stuff from the show. Like one year he brought Rory's chest plate from the Centurion Guard outfit that he wears. He actually brought the chest plate that the actor wore and was passing it around the room and letting people see it. I'm like, it's going to get stolen. what are you doing? And then he brought like fabric swatches from costumes. And he has this whole like pictures behind the scenes that you don't really see you know, because they're not really published. And so they're like phase shots of like the set and phase shots of costumes, and talks about how long it's, he actually made Matt Smith's sonic screwdriver. He's like the guy that invented the design for it.
Nice.
Yes. So he's a really, really a cool, just a cool person, and really nice. He's a little shy, but he's a really nice guy. And he's going to be in a bunch of our panels. And more specifically, we are going to be doing an hour with Robert Alsup, where he's just going to sit in the panel and talk about, you know, and show photos and stuff. So it's definitely something people should not miss if they're Doctor Who fans.
That is awesome. That is awesome. So, go ahead.
So, I mean, we just have a lot going on. I mean, our large ballrooms have guests in it, and it also has, like, large topics, like our classic series Doctor Who panel is in a large ballroom. We're doing a decade of New Who. We're doing, we called it Doctor Who, Capaldi and his eyebrows. which is Sorry. The title of our review panel for Capaldi and him as the new doctor. I think we've got several Doctor Who panels going on. There's a lot going on. We usually have at least 8 to 10 going on over the course of the weekend. So
now
it's pretty exciting.
I don't know if this was before we started recording or not, but you said that you're happy because you only have one triple booked time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how often do you have, I mean, just as a director, just put us through the background. How difficult is it to just cut things that you know that you like, or that somebody else is going to like, and make that decision on what is going to be the panel?
Oh, it's really hard, actually, because we cover an entire, like, history, culture, continent, you know, everything. So it's really hard to figure out what rises to the top, you know, to cut off and use. And what we usually do is we look at what is currently airing, or as in, you know, it's new, whatever's new, mm-hmm. that's popular. And we look at ratings, and we do polls on Facebook and on Twitter to ask if anyone's interested in the panel. And see what the response is before we start selecting certain topics. But I mean, we could cover a whole lot more, mind you, than we actually do, because there's historically so much, you know, that we could cover. So we start with that, and then we pick the newest shows, and then we pick what's really popular, like Downton Abbey is in its, you know, going into its final season. So we pick that.
Yeah. My husband's already going into withdrawals. Love that show. So they're like, I don't know what we're going to do.
I'm telling you, there's a ton of other period dramas that will fill that niche for you. Mr. Selfridge is definitely one of them. But we choose things that are really popular. We choose things also if they're airing in the United States and they're your UK or property, but, you know, the ratings, like, are high here as well, then we'll also pick that show, or we'll try to fit it in somewhere, and kind of narrow the topic and do like a broad panel of topic, but, you know, be able to talk about everything like we do with the period dramas panel. We're going to be talking about multiple television shows instead of just one. The other thing that we do is anything that has an anniversary, we do a panel on.
Okay.
So, for example, the decade of Doctor Who, and then we're doing 40 years of Ziggy Stardust.
Oh,
we're doing
wow.
a Bowie panel.
Oh, my. No, really?
Yeah.
It's been
40 years. Yes. If you look on his website, his discography, like, a ton of stuff has come out, you know, or came out 40 years ago. A ton of his most popular albums came out within that 1 year. He released, like, I think 2 or 3 albums within that 1 year. It's been 40 years. So we're doing 40 years of Ziggy as a panel. And that should be really fun. And then we're also doing anytime somebody passes that's major, you know, we do a panel on it. So we're doing a Man, the Myth, the Legend, Christopher Lee panel because we've lost Christopher Lee this year.
That's
right.
Yeah, so we're doing a memoriam and we're going to talk about his work and what he did with Hammer Horror Productions and just how wonderful of an actor he was. And so we have that panel. And then we have our other memoriam panel this year, which is for Terry Pratchett because Terry Pratchett passed.
Yeah, that's true too.
Oh. It gets a little, I'm telling you, man, this year gets a little depressing.
Way to bring the podcast down. Well, but that's really cool, though, you know, because you're right. There's probably not enough specifics to do a panel on, well, Terry Pratchett there is probably, but on Christopher Lee. Yeah. But of course, if you look at his whole career, yeah, there's a lot to talk about. So.
Oh, yeah. And so, you know, when we pick things, we pick them based upon, you know, the interest. We pick them based upon whether or not they're having an anniversary. Like, I think it's AbFab is having its anniversary, and they're going to be making a reunion movie. So we're doing a panel for that. And then anything that's going off the air that has been popular, like Atlantis is just finished. You know, they axed Atlantis. It's not coming back for another season. So we're doing a panel on that. In the Flesh is another show that is really good that if anyone's a zombie fan, they should watch. It's really, really, really good. It's basically like, I don't know how to describe the premise of the show. It's zombie apocalypse has occurred, but they're sentient and they're able to cure them. So they know who they are, but they're still undead and they're zombies and they're living in like this suburbia and trying to be human. And it's a really good show, but that is ending its season. Unfortunately, they didn't renew it. So that, you know, is another panel that we're doing. And then popular stuff that's aired on BBCA and other things like The Musketeers we're doing a panel on. And I mentioned Orphan Black before. So we've got a lot going on.
That's really cool. So let me ask you this question. I ask this every year because, you know, I like to ask it. Actually, it's not the final question, but it is the question. If you have the time and somebody that's not on your track, who would you like to see of the guests that are, we're still a little ways out, but of the guests that have been announced, who would you really like to, as a fan, like to go check out?
I've already told the director of, I can't remember which track it is. I said, I'm coming and sneaking in. Save me a seat. And that's for the Captive Lost Girl. I really like that show. I don't know why. I just really like it. And so there's a bunch of actors coming from that I really want to see. That I think it would be a really fun panel. The problem is when you start working this convention for as long as I have, you pretty much feel like you've seen it all as far as panels. And we do get repeat guests that keep coming back. It's like, oh, you know, Edward James Olmos is here again. Like, it's like my old friend, which is just comical to me. It's so surreal.
Let me ask you, is Richard Hatch coming back this year?
I think so. I mean, I think he's been there since the first year.
I know. It seems like that, doesn't it?
John is just being a not nice person.
Well, it's like Richard Hatch and I can't ever remember his name. The guy who played the Hulk.
Lou Ferrigno. Lou Ferrigno.
Yes, Lou Ferrigno. They're always there. It's kind of like they're like the uncle at the back of the, you know, family party that like people don't acknowledge, but they have to acknowledge that they love, but they don't know if they love. And you know what I mean? Like they want to talk to you like for hours on end. But so it's funny to me that like I go to this con and I see these people that I haven't seen or that are famous, haven't seen them, but it's like, oh, they're not a big deal, which I just think is weird. It's like, oh, I've seen him. He's all right. He's a nice guy.
So how long have you been volunteering at the con? And for those that haven't listened before, how did you become a director?
Oh, geez. I have been on staff for 16 years.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. I'm telling you, all of us are adding up now. It's really kind of awesome.
I know I feel old, but I'm not that old. But, like, I've been doing it since, you know, for a long time, about 15, 16 years. And I started, you know, the way I became, well, when I became director, the track was not in a good place. it was like I don't even know how many years I've been director, maybe 8 or 9. And the convention was considering getting rid of we were called the British Science Fiction Media Track, which is very mouthful.
I remember that.
Very long title. Yeah. Yep.
British Science Fiction Media. And before that we were the British Track when it first was created, and then we became the British Science Fiction Media Track, and then we were the British Sci-Fi Track, and then, you know, so it changed, but everyone would call us the Brit Track. Mm-hmm. Just as a, because it was so wordy, they're like, how can we abbreviate this? It's the Brit Track, they're Brit, that's what they do. So I ended up, I'm the one that changed the name to the Brit Track after the second year when I was director.
Yeah.
And when I took over, our programming was just, there wasn't that much coming out of the UK at the time that was coming over here and airing here, so people weren't as familiar with it. So, I mean, we had panels on things that people had seen, but we had multiple of them. Like, we had 3 Red Dwarf panels, and because it was airing on, you know, PBS. We had, like, AbFab panels, and we did a very large Whose Line Is It Anyway competition. That spanned like 10 panel slots. We had Monty Python, we had like 4 Monty Python panels and things like that. So when I took over, there wasn't really that much going on. The new series Doctor Who is getting ready to air, the following year. So the, you know, previous director, you know, left, and they called me up and they're like, we have 2 options here. You can either take over and be director and make this better, or we can get rid of it. I was like, well, I don't want to do either. But because I don't want to be the head of the snake. I don't want to be the head of the snake. So I said, all right, fine, I'll do it. So my first year, we completely revamped our programming. And we've changed it several times over the years. We used to do, like, we used to be what's called 24-hour track, where we ran from, you know, really early in the morning, 8 o'clock in the morning, and then we were only closed for maybe 2 hours in a given 24-hour period. And that was a
crazy.
Little much.
That's a lot of programming.
Yeah, we had a lot of programming, mm-hmm. But our late night stuff started. No, we don't do that anymore because I need sleep. I'm too old for that. But we had, you know, we had a video room in our room from like 1 a.m. until like 5 a.m. We would show things that people hadn't seen yet, because we would get, you know, copies of DVDs from people. And we would show things that, you know, people may not, oh, hey, here's this show. You guys should try it and watch it. And we wouldn't get that many people in the room. We'd get maybe like 30 people at 1 a.m. and then it trickled down throughout the night. So we ended up getting rid of that. And now we do adult-themed panels where they're mature topics. And now we have Brit Track. We call it Brit Track After Dark.
Oh, nice.
There you go.
And we have like super controversial topics or, you know, or fun, silly topics. Like one of our panels is like, who will end up on top in this year, the Doctor? So talking about, you know, missing the Doctor and the gender roles that are going on there. That's a late night programming panel. We have Curse Like a Brit. Learn how to curse like a Brit. It's a late night. I don't even know what's going to happen, but it's going to be really funny. And I literally told my staff, I said, if any panel that I'm going to be in the room for, this is it.
There you go. Curse like a Brit. Woohoo! Well, that's just bloody marvelous.
I know. It's fantastic. So we actually have a guy who travels. I think he was in maybe Manchester. He travels to come to Dragon Con every year. He's just a con goer. And last year he came and we were just like, you are actually like, you live in England and we want to talk to you. And so we've kind of adopted him, and he is going to be on the panel for A Curse Like a Brit. And then another person that's a transplant, he moved here like 3 or 4 years ago, from London. And so he's going to be on the panel as well. So the actual Brit's on the panel. So it's legitimate, you know, you will learn how to curse like a Brit. So it's going to be comical. I'm trying to think of what our other late night programming panels are. We have there's one that I don't want to be in the room for. I'm actually kind of scared of the panel a little bit. Some of my staff take over the panel and I'm like, you guys handle it. I don't even want to be in the room. And it's fan fiction and flash fiction and Tumblr in British media.
Oof. That will be a very, very interesting panel, though.
Yes, I'm sure it will be. Like, I don't even, there are acronyms that are in the description for that panel that I don't even know.
Okay, wait, give me one of the acronyms.
OTP? I don't even know what that is. Or
One True Pairing.
I want you to stop there. I don't want it anymore.
If it'll embarrass you, I wouldn't say it, but One True Pairing, that's what that is.
What is BSD? Never mind.
That, right. it's like OTP is one of them. Another one was like, I can't remember. It was like shipping or something like that. It was like a term in it. And there's like, I don't know. It's just, it's so foreign to my own existence that I just can't even wrap my head around it. And, but the panel apparently is really popular. And
last year
they did it and people would read fanfic and slash, would read like scenes from slashfic, with like, one of them was like with, Sherlock and then the Doctor was like one of them. And I was like, I don't need to know anymore. I'm good. I don't want to know. So it's that panel is going to be an interesting panel. And I think right before that, because that's a really late night one. That one's like at 11 o'clock going, you know, as far late as I could push it. And then our other panels are things like Whovian dating tips, how to be a Doctor Who fan and date. Because we're all really awkward. So that's going to be a fun panel. And we've got a couple of other ones, but I can't remember the names of them off the top of my head because, we have 53 panels, which is a lot to keep track of.
Yeah, no pun intended. So, keep track of.
Right.
All right, so here is your final question.
Okay.
If you had to have only one doctor, all the others just completely disappear, all their stories, all their history, all the lineage disappear, who would that be?
I don't know if I can do that.
Tough, you
have
That's
to. Not fair.
You got it.
That is a trap
you
question. That's a trap question.
It's always a trap
That's
question.
A trap. It is always a trap
that's
question.
That's John's. That's right. That's John's whole
okay,
purpose
John,
of life.
You are asking me to like, you're asking me to like dismiss like one of the major story arcs, like one of the major plot points of Doctor Who. I don't know if I can do that.
All right.
Well, you can. I mean, you get this doctor up until that point, until regeneration. You know regeneration's coming, but you will never get to it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't like who would permanently be. I mean, it just depends. I mean, I don't know. I mean, my doctor, everyone, if you're a Doctor Who fan, you have what's called your doctor. And
that's
your
right.
doctor is usually either the first doctor that's the doctor that made you fall in love with the show, or it's the doctor that you first saw, or, you know, something along those lines. So that person just becomes your doctor. And my doctor was McCoy and has always been McCoy. And I am a McCoy fan. Because I watched Doctor Who on PBS and he was my first doctor that I saw on, you know, PBS when it was airing when I lived in California. And he's, you know, I love him. I love his episodes and everything like that. The problem is it like, are you asking me, John, that is this person filling the role of every episode?
No, they are the only Doctor that ever gets to exist in only their stories.
Oh, Jesus. I can't do that. No, I plead the fifth. I plead the fifth.
It's too hard. I'll let you off the hook.
Okay.
So again,
this is a terrible question.
Let everybody know where.
That's all. That's good. Just say it's a terrible question, John. I like that. That's just what I'm going to start saying all the time now. I'm going to get a T-shirt with that on it. It's a terrible question, John.
So let people know how they can find more information on the track. Oh, Jesus. Oh, my daughter just came up behind me.
That's hilarious.
John's kids like to scare him as they're like thinking about going to bed and just doing other things. And it's hysterical to hear.
How my studio is set up, or how I record here. I have a standing desk that faces a wall away from the door. And I have my headphones on and I can't hear anything up. And I'm like in the upstairs bonus room area. And so when they show up behind me and I never, hear them, then I turn around and they're all of a sudden there. I'm like, ah! Anyway.
She's been standing there for like 15 minutes. You have no idea
probably
what she's saying. Like, wait, what did I say?
And some of the podcasts I do, I don't really want her to be hearing. No. So the so how can people find more information about the Brit track?
They can find us through the DragonCon website, obviously, or going directly to our website, which is britishmedia.dragoncon.org. No, it's british.dragoncon.org. It just got changed. British.dragoncon.org.
Right.
And then they can also visit us. Our Facebook page is very active.
And it's by the way, that little yelp you just heard was John's son sneaking up on him as well.
It's a game they like to play.
And I
that's
just
really funny.
Every friend of theirs enjoys the hell out of it. Every friend of yours, John, loves it. So
my wife, keep them good. My wife double checks my life insurance is paid up, and then she sends the kids up to scare me.
Making sure you don't stroke out. They can visit us through. So you can visit us through Facebook. We're very active on Facebook, and it's Dragon Con. I think we have our old title because you can't change the name of groups once you make them, which is silly.
Yeah, it's
So ours is like Dragon Con British Sci-Fi Media. It's like a long title. So if you look for Brit Track on Facebook, you will not find us. But you can find the link on our website.
Yeah, it's very easy to find any of the tracks. So if you're on the Dragon Con site, you go to what to do and then go down in that. And there's fan tracks. And then there's a whole list of us. And you click on that.
And there's two pages.
Their website, and there's two pages. Yeah. And it'll take you to their little website. And then it gives you all the little clicks. All the little clicks.
And we have pretty much every social media that's out there. We have Facebook. We have, we even have a MySpace account.
Well,
I don't know why.
It is.
But we do.
I will tell you, your DragonCon name is british.dragoncon.org.
There you go. British.dragoncon.org. And then we have a Twitter account that we're really active on. We actually love our Twitter account because if people are in a panel with a guest, but they can't get up to get in line, or the line's too long, they can tweet a question with the panel title and add the either hashtag BritTrack or at BritTrack. I think it's DC BritTrack. And they can ask a question, and one of our staff members will read it for them. So people can tweet questions during the panel, which is kind of neat. So our Twitter account is pretty active during the convention. We actually do photos and fan stuff, and it's panels and things like that. So it's pretty neat. And then we have a Tumblr as well, and we're also on LiveJournal as well. So
you really do cover all of them, don't you?
We really do, and we post on all of them pretty actively. We have someone who's in charge of each and every one, and we even have a Flickr that has all of our photos on it.
Oh, wow.
That people can just upload and tag photos in. But our most active place is probably our Facebook group, because we do events outside of the convention throughout the year. We do meet and greets. We do bowling nights where we get together. We also have a picnic that we're doing that's coming up in August before the convention that we do in Piedmont Park. And there's usually like 30 to 40 people that come out to that, and it's a lot of fun. You get to meet people and hang out, and we do trivia in the park. So we like host a kind of pseudo bar trivia and cook out. Yeah, it's pretty fun, and lots of families come, and you know they'll bring games and stuff and play. And we have the Thursday, even though Lee said it doesn't officially start till Friday.
It doesn't start till Friday.
We do have a pre-con dinner if you like Indian food.
But see, that's not
we do.
Con. No, that's not con. See, I agree. That's fine, because that's not con. You guys just get together with your friends, and you have a place where if you're a fan of this, show up.
Pretty much. And so we have a pre-con dinner at an Indian restaurant around the corner called Haveli. And we do that. This is probably the sixth year we've done it. And we usually get about 80 to 100 people, and, you know, but people come and eat the buffet, and it's really good, and hang out before the convention. So.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, one last time, where is your room again?
It is in the Sheraton in the room called Macon.
Macon. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
All right.
So, until next time, this is John. For Lee and Caro saying peace.
Bye.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 813-3210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter @TheUniqueGeek. Visit our listserv at listserv.theuniquegeek.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons share alike non-commercial license.